Our reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 7, and I'm reading verses 14 to 25. In my Bible, this was headed, Our Struggle with Sin, something many of us are deeply aware of. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know what good itself does not, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if what I do not want to do, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature am a slave to the law of sin.
We've been looking at everyone having something unique to offer. Everyone has something to offer in God's economy. There is no one who is supposed to be a passenger in the kingdom of God. If you're still sucking air, if you're still breathing, it's because God hasn't finished using you in this life, whether that is to be served or to serve or to do both. That's the nature of the church. Otherwise, you know, as soon as you became a Christian, you'd have been carted off to heaven. But he leaves you here because he's got work for you to do to grow the kingdom of God. And we're just looking at that. How everyone has got something to offer, but what is it? Well, let's start off with God made us unique. I don't know how that happened, but we'll get there. God made us unique. And are we with us? Does it work now? Okay. I might have to ask you to do this, Megan. When I do that, all right? God, there you go. God made us unique. Right. Psalm 139 tells us something about, there you go, it's working. Psalm 139, which we read last week, tells us about something about the unique place we hold in creation and in God's plans. And if you've got time to read it, it's really good to read because it says something about you and what God thinks of you and how you're made. And in all of God's doing, he didn't produce clones, but individuals with a tremendous capacity to grow, to learn, and to develop, some more than others. I said last week that you are not like me, and some of you breathed a sigh of relief, and some of you, as I say, were bitterly disappointed. Okay. But you're not like me in your gifting, but you're not like me in your wiring either. The way that you think is not like me. The way Jill and I think are not the same. And you who are married know this. You do not think alike. And it may have been the cause of one or two discussions. Because you don't think alike. The way we tick, the way we think, the way we process things is different. And the other thing, apart from being unique, is that God made us complicated. We are not simple beings. I know you think that I am. Okay. Or you can turn to the person around you and say, that's a simple one. But we're not. We're really complex beings. There seems to be twin pairs of drives in every one of us. There's the drive to do the right thing, and there's that little drive to do the wrong thing. I know that because you just give a man a hose and a load of people. And there's that little thing that goes through his head. I know I'm supposed to be watering the plants, or I know I'm supposed to be washing the car, but there's just something in us that wants to do that. There's the drive to be self-centered and the drive to be other-centered. There's the drive to be generous and the drive to be selfish. There's the drive to be compliant and there's that little drive to be rebellious. No. I don't know if you have that one. There's that drive to be faithful to our promises and to the people we love. And there's that drive to be promiscuous, to gain some kind of reward or thrill. It's in there. There's the drive to be organized, and there's the drive to be spontaneous. Boy, does that cause problems. There's even the drive to be spiritual, and the drive to be worldly, as the Bible calls it. And you can add to the list. Two opposite drives, because each of them is trying to get something out of it. And God made us that way with these drives. And they are good drives. Some habits and personal traits come about through which drive we feed more. If you keep feeding selfishness, you will become a selfish person. If you keep feeding greed, you'll get fatter. Or if your greed is for money, you constantly want more. You will never be satisfied. Being totally other-centered can lead to self-neglect. Being totally generous can lead to poverty. But people think this is a virtue. The drives don't make us good or evil, but how we react to them affects how we relate to God and to others. And the drives help form our personalities from a very early age. And that's why parents have got to be careful in rewarding some of their behaviors, because it's feeding a drive, and that forms a personality. You know, when they have the tantrums on the floor, not that your children ever do that kind of thing, but how do you deal with that? Because if you give in to them, they'll do it again. It becomes a habit. And if you don't give in to them, then you've got all that embarrassment from other parents saying they should do something about that. The drives don't make us good or evil, but how we react to them affects how we relate to others. So, I thought we'd have some fun with your wiring today. We're going to give you a little test about your wiring, okay? It's only fun, and it's about two competing drives in you. I've got some pencils that are just on the chair there. So if you want a pencil, because you're going to score yourselves, okay? The questions are on the sheet. If anyone wants a pencil or a pen, just grab one. You're going to give yourself a score out of 5. So here they are. Can I ask you to do those? Okay. I'm going to ask how you're energized, and I'm going to ask how you're organized. Okay? Energized and organized. Right, it's just a simple test to see if you differ from me. Okay? So, shall we start this? You're going to mark yourselves out of 5. And here's how we're going to do it. How are you energized? I'm going to give you 7 questions. And you've got to put yourself on a sliding scale here. Right. This is the question about how comfortable you are. Okay? How comfortable you are. How I am more comfortable doing things for people. Okay? That's on one extreme. Or I am more comfortable on just being with people. All right? This is not clinical trials, okay? This is just for you to put yourself on a scale, 1 to 5. 1 if you are far more comfortable doing things for people. 5 if you'd rather just be there, not do anything. Just you like being with people. Okay? Can you do that? So give yourself a score, write it down, or remember it, whichever you're doing. I'm going to add these scores up, so you might as well add them up as you go along. Okay? So 1 to 5 for that. You can't give yourself a 0. All right? 1 to 5. Hold on that. Right, let's try question 2. When doing tasks, I tend to focus on the goal or focus on the relationship or somewhere in between. When I'm doing a task, you know, what am I doing here? Say I'm washing up with somebody. Do I just get on with it and not talk? Or do I do something about it? Or am I stood there trying to do the washing up and actually I don't do anything because I'm just talking? Do you know what I mean? It's sort of, those are the two extremes. So 1 to 5 on those. Just give yourself a score. Okay, question 3. We won't all go at this speed. We'll go a bit faster. Have you all got the first 2 scores? You done yours yet? All right, I'm about to move it along. Just waiting for you to finish your scores. Because I'm about to move it on. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Gone. Right, question 3. I get more excited about advancing a cause or creating a community. I get more excited about advancing a cause. Yay, let's go for this. Let's you know, make a community orchard. Let's build the ark. Let's do something. Or let's do it together. Okay. 1 to 5 on that one. Question 4, I feel I have accomplished something when I have completed a job. Or I have accomplished something when I've built a relationship. You're completing a job, you know you are. You know, there's that little satisfaction when the ironing's done, you know. Or when the car's been cleaned, you look at it and go, whoa. Or do you want to do it in community? Ready? Question 5. It is more important for to start a meeting on time or when everyone gets there. Now we're getting to the nitty-gritty, aren't we? Yes. All those people that come to a church meeting and go, I know. No, that's what you do, isn't it? Now, you met me somewhere in the middle. But you know, if you've got your preference, there it is. Question 6. I am more concerned with meeting a deadline than maintaining a team. All right? If there's a deadline, it's got to be done. Okay? And you're a 1 if you go, yeah, meet the deadline every time. All right? You can tell you meet the deadline every time because there's dead bodies all over the place. But it's been done. And then if it's maintaining a team, nothing gets done because you're too busy saying, well, we'll get to that eventually, but as long as you're okay. Okay, last question. Question 7. I place a higher value on action or communication. Which do you place a higher value on? Okay? I want you to add that total up and give yourself an E score. It should be something between 7 and 35. And the observant around you will see we have 7 and 35 around us. And a load of other numbers as well. You all got that? So that is how are you energized. And you've now got an energized number. Okay? Now we're going to do another one on how you are organized. All right? How are you organized? Question one. In life, I generally prefer to be spontaneous. Or in life, I generally prefer to follow a set plan. Which are you? 1 to 5. There are some people that just need plans. And there are some people that just go with the flow, whatever. And try and getting them to make a plan. Well, it's like nailing jelly to a tree. Okay, number two. I prefer guidelines that are general, or I prefer guidelines that are specific. 1 to 5. Which kind of guidelines do you like? Yeah, here you go. These are general set of rules. Work it out for yourself. Or, no, I want to follow. Just remember IKEA furniture on this one, okay? How many of you pick up the piece of paper and read it through? You are probably a 5, okay? How many of you sort of glance at it and go, yeah, I can do it, yeah. General rules, and then get it wrong, okay? And we have to take it apart again and put it back together again, but we know, okay? Right, question 3. I prefer to leave my options open, or I prefer to settle things now. Make a decision. Which are you going to do? Okay? Okay, question 4. I prefer projects that have variety, or I prefer projects that have a routine. Now we'll do all of these, get these done, sort them out, and so forth. That's the routine kind of job. Or projects that keep changing what you're doing. 1 to 5 on that one. And can I say at this point that the fewer 3s you have, the better you know yourself. Okay? How you organize? Number 5, I like to play it by ear. Or I like to stick to a plan. Which way are you going? Now, you OCD people will be on that one. Question 6, I find routine boring. Or I find routine restful. I just get on with it. I don't have to think. I don't have to do anything else. It's just fine with me. Or are you yawning because you've got to do it again and again? 1 to 5 on that one. And finally, question 7. I accomplish tasks best by working it out as I go. Or I accomplish task best by following a plan. Try putting in a kitchen. That's great fun. You all done that? Right. How are you organized? An O score up to 35, down to 7. Have you all got that? Now, here's where I'm going to ask you to move. You will go back to your own seats, don't worry. What I want to do is make a grid out of this room. So, we've got the music place over there, we've got the front of the church there, we've got the back of the church up there, and we've got the coffee area over there. Right, so we're going to make up a grid like this. And we're going to put the numbers across there. The O scale goes across that way. So what I want you to do is move, stand up and move, according to your own number, along that way. Okay? Stay roughly where you are, but just move along, shifting that way. Okay? So you're only looking at the pink one. Okay? Only looking at the pink one. Just the pink one. Just the pink number. Line yourself up that way. Okay? Line yourself up. Very nice. Have you all lined yourselves up that way? In the pink one. Why are you up there? Then, when you've done that, I'd like you to line yourself up with the yellow one that way, but stay on the pink line. Stay on the pink line. Have you all done that? If you are standing together, are you listening? If you are standing together, the people around you, you probably get on with very well. Okay? You think alike. You do things alike. If you're standing on your own, if you are standing on your own, all right, you are unique. All right? You're right up here. Okay. All right. Now, can you all just look around the room and see the people, especially the over the far side of wherever you are? Okay. I mean, look at this guy over here from over there. Just look around. Some of the people over there are really strange because they do not think like you at all. They do not approach problems like you do at all. And probably you will find them annoying. Now, if your spouse is over there, they say opposites attract and they complement each other. So you two must complement each other an awful lot. Yes? Just put your hands up in the air, you two. Go on. I think these are the two extremes. Okay? Everyone that you do, you are totally opposite. Yes, that's what they say. Thank you very much. So have a look around. You can talk to the people near you. You approach problems similarly, okay? And that's why you can work well together. I think you two must be the closest couple. Okay, go sit down. Fun? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You can chat over coffee, don't worry. Some of you have just met, you know, your lifelong friends. Now, can I say right at the outset, all of these things are good, and they make up the variety of human life. So if we look at this scale here, roughly those people that were in the back quarter over there tend to be task-orientated but unstructured, okay, in the way that they go about things, all right? Some of you will find that, especially those people down here, will find that infuriating, okay? But we're called to work together. If you were over in that corner, then you are task-orientated, but you are structured about it. Some would say rigid, okay? But that's the way you've been wired, okay? From a very early age, that's the way you've been wired. You're task-orientated, unstructured. Give you a job to do, and you will do it, and you will do it methodically. Thank you for doing those things, especially from us who are, you know, not task-orientated and totally unstructured, all right? If you are down this bottom corner, you are people-orientated, but you're unstructured as well, okay? You are absolutely infuriating to those people over there, okay? And yet we've been called to love each other, okay? And you two have been called to love each other in a particular strong way, okay? Got to take a lot of love for that. All right. And finally, there's the people structured here. You like the organization, but you prefer to work with people rather than tasks. Okay? Just your nature. Now, why I'm giving you this is not to show you how wonderful you are, but to say something about your variety. These are things, there's two things that don't really matter, but you need to know them in order not to make everybody like you, especially parents. Your children are not going to be like you. Live with it. You're not making a clone. You're making a human being in God's image with uniqueness built in. Okay? Uniqueness built in. So that's how it is. Our drives and our personalities may explain our behavior, but it doesn't excuse it. All right? Oh, I'm task-orientated, therefore I don't bother with people is not an option. Or I am people-orientated, the task can go to the wall, not an option. Okay? It explains your preferences, but it doesn't excuse your behavior. That's a really important thing. And when a person becomes a Christian, the drives do not go away. The drive to be selfish doesn't die. It just becomes more devious and hides behind spiritual language. That's what Paul is describing in this passage, by the way. Some people have argued that Paul is describing the pre-Christian. Before I became a Christian, this is what it was like within my soul. And now, in Christ, I am fine. He's not. He's describing his Christian journey. The battle within that he has. And this is Paul, okay? Really spiritual man, writing Romans. And he says, you know what? The problem is me. And he's getting to know himself, and he's getting to know himself in Christ. And he says, there's a war going on within me. So if the war is going on in you, you're in good company. You're on the right road. If the war has ceased, you've given up. It should be a battle within you to get these drives organized and sorted out. And he's saying, he's not saying this is what I was before I became a Christian, a mess, but now in Christ I'm happy, focused, and without the inner battles. He's saying, I recognize there's a battle going on within me every day. And I know the only way to become what God wants me to become is to rely on Christ more fully. That's it. Rely on Christ more fully. Because God made you and me to reach out to him. To go beyond the searching for answers within or in the past or in our set of experiences. They only explain the motivations of the drives and tell us we have no control. They excuse our bad habits by latching on to influences like things like my dad had affairs and girly magazines by his bedside, so it's in my blood. that I watch porn. Or my mum shouted and screamed and swore at us as children, so it's in my upbringing. Can't do anything about it. Or my parents' generation smoked, and so I do. You can always blame your influences. But the call of the Christian is to rise to Christlikeness, to recognize these battles and say, I am unique, but I have Christ within, who will help me overcome. And this is where it matters. He made us to reach out. In this passage, Paul recognizes the struggle for that battle within, between the being spiritual and unspiritual, between flesh and spirit, between sinful nature and spiritual calling. For those in Christ, the battle is more acute. Two competing egos, two competing laws, two competing types of bondage. And the answer is not self-control, but allowing Christ in. You know, Christ gives us the freedom to struggle and the hope to overcome. That's what he offers each of you and me. We're all strugglers. And this is something we can offer to each other. Recognizing that we're all strugglers rather than pretending we have got it all together will make us more useful when we offer our time and our talents and our treasures to God and to each other. It's very interesting that Andy talked about Peter. I always think of Peter, you know, he let Christ down by denying him. Imagine Peter later on in years when someone says, you know what, I let Christ down. And I feel terrible. I don't even know if I'm a Christian anymore. Can you imagine Peter saying, you naughty boy, fancy doing that? Or do you imagine him putting his arm around you? You think that's bad? Let me tell you what I did on the night he was betrayed. And he forgave me so he can forgive you. He restored me so he can restore you. And he used me again to build a church, and he can do the same for you. It doesn't excuse the behavior, but it does offer forgiveness and hope. That's the great thing about letting Christ in. We stop being the victim of our mistakes and other people's mistakes, and we reach out to Christ. For everything, everyone has something to offer. And each one of us is responsible for overcoming the inner battle and become Christ-like, the servant-hearted and open to the leading of God, whatever our wiring. Your God-inspired contribution to church matters. It really does. But recognize that we're not producing clones. We're producing individuals in Christ with all your anomalies and all my anomalies. And you're called to love me anyway. Not just love me because I'm perfect, which I'm not. That's what this message is about. If you struggle to follow Christ, you are not alone. And you are on the right path. Isn't that something to give thanks for? Let's pray together. Father God, we do thank you that you've made us unique. And sometimes we get frustrated with ourselves and with other people. Forgive us. And help us to find your Spirit leading us in all things. Help us to appreciate the diversity in others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.